I have a burden this morning that for me will be a little difficult, but the Lord has dealt with me about this week, and so I desire your prayers that I'll be able to explain it in a way that it would please the Lord and would be beneficial to all of us. I'm going to talk, by the help of the Lord, about the destruction of the flesh. I'd like to paint a couple of pictures in our mind. The first picture is about a little boy on the beach. We've probably all been to the beach, played in the sand. This little boy playing on the beach and had his bucket, packing sand in his bucket, and his purpose was to make a castle. I tried to make a castle a time or two on the beach. I can see him in my mind packing the sand, making his walls and towers, taking a spoon or something and kind of making a moat around the castle, the way the old medieval castles were done. Maybe taking a popsicle stick or two and laying them across the moat for a bridge. Building his little castle there in the sand. And then I want us to think about a man. A man that lives in a big city that has busy streets and lots of traffic. We got a lot of those in our country. I think of this man in his office, going to work every day, sitting in his office, where phone calls are made and numbers are juggled and contracts are signed. And the bottom line is that they're looking for a profit to be made. The companies need to make a profit in order to stay in business. This is most people's life's work. Formulating plans and forecasting the future, capital gains, and trying to build empires and trying to be successful in this life and in this world. I think about the boy. He sees the end of it all. He realizes that when the evening comes and the tide begins to rise, and inches closer and closer to his little sandcastle, he realizes it's going to be destroyed. But the man, he's busy with life. Got a lot involved and a lot to do and doesn't really think about what the tide may do someday to his little castle, to his world. The man doesn't see the end. And you know, that reminds me that Jesus was talking there in Matthew. When he was talking about Noah and the flood, it said they knew not until the flood came. I believe the Lord would have every one of us to always bear in mind and keep in mind there will be an end for all of us. There will be a day when the Lord comes back, won't there? But the man, he doesn't see the end. He doesn't realize that one day the flood's going to come, going to destroy everything that he's worked for, everything that he's fought for in life, and wash it all away. And as days come and go and time passes by, the floods are going to take our castles too. They're going to destroy the castles that we have built. And then when that time comes, we're going to say, well, if only I had known. If only I had listened to what I had been told. But like most people, this man in our little made-up story, he didn't listen. And so he didn't realize that that day was going to come. That'll be the days of all days, won't it? That'll be the time of all time when it's the end of time. When the Lord comes back and puts a period at the end of history, that's what He's going to do. He'll put a period at the end of it all. And we'll all be subject unto Him to that day, won't we? I'd like to look and consider a verse of Scripture found in the 10th chapter of the book of John. John 10 and 10, we can quote it. I know He's talking about false prophets here, but I don't believe I'll be taking it out of context and using it the way that the Lord has given it to us this morning. He said, "The thief cometh not for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The thief. I want us to consider that the enemy is a thief. In whatever shape or form that he comes against us, he's a thief. And when I read that his purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and that Jesus came that we can have abundant life, that's quite a contrast, isn't it? It's quite a difference. One wants to destroy me. One wants to destroy my hopes and my dreams and all that I've worked for and labored for in my life. And one day we'll all leave that behind. I realize that. But the other came that we can have abundant life. I thought about the scripture over in Deuteronomy, I believe it's the 30th chapter, where God told the children of Israel, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And then He said, "Choose life." He said, "I set before you life and death." And He said, "Choose life that you might live." That would be what the wise man would be to choose life. In order to choose life, I must choose Jesus. I must choose His sacrifice. I must choose His love. Jesus came into the world, folks, to get us ready. Simple and plainly put, He came here to get us ready. To get us ready for something. I think about when He was here on earth at the time, and He wept over Jerusalem. And He had taught the Jews, and He was trying to help them to get ready for the time to come. That's what the Word of God really is for in each and every one of us this morning, to get us ready for the time to come. And He wept over Jerusalem because He knew the time to come for Jerusalem. And in AD 70, that time came, didn't it? When Titus set up his army in array over the city and against the city. Do you know that history tells us that 97,000 people in the city of Jerusalem were taken captive by Titus and his army? History also tells us that 1,100,000 people were slain and died in one form or another from being killed or from famine, dying of starvation. Jesus knew that. He knew that. He understood that time. And so He wept over them and He tried to help them to prepare, to be ready. And I believe that the Word of God is trying to help you and I to be prepared too. For a catastrophic event, if I can say it that way. The judgment day will be a judgment shock for many people. And it will be all that you and I can do as we learn of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. It'll be all that you and I can do to be ready and to have our lamps trimmed and burning. I don't have any grace for you. You won't have any grace for me. It'll be all that we can do to be ready to meet the Lord in peace. But that's my heart's desire. Jesus said that we can have an abundant life. But I notice as we look out on the world today, there's not many choose that. There's more people that seem to be following the one that come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Today, in our country, we face hungry bodies and cold hearts. Cold hearts. People that have a mindset against God. A mindset against the things that He represents. A mindset against His Son. And I want us to consider now life. Life seems to be, and has been for me, a maze of turns and struggles to find the way. There isn't anyone in this room this morning that's been any more foolish than I have in my past life. And I remember walking away from God as a young boy and going out into a cruel world. And so I identify very strongly with the prodigal. Remember the prodigal? The prodigal decided, he went to his father and decided, I want everything, I want my inheritance, I want my money. And I want to go out into the world and I want to enjoy it. I want to explore. I want to see what's out there. You know what's out there? The enemy that wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I noticed that after he had lost it all, after he had spent everything that he had, he didn't have his friends anymore, and he didn't have his lifestyle anymore. You know, I can identify with that. I didn't necessarily lose all the money I had, but folks, I got bankrupt, morally bankrupt. I got down in the cesspool of sin. I was living a very corrupt life. My heart was hard against God, and I was following the paths of sin and following the mazes and the turns and the struggles in this world, and I didn't have anyone to help me except the one that wanted to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's amazing to me today. But what can I say to someone when I look back upon my own life and realize how foolish that I have been? But I can say this morning that by the grace of God and by His mercy unto me, He helped me to see myself. He helped me to realize that I needed to turn around and I needed to do something different with my life. He helped me to realize that He was the only hope that I would ever have. He is the only one that can change the direction or the course of my life. He's the only one that can help me in my time of need. He's the only one that can be there to comfort me, to give me understanding, to give me direction in life. He's really the only one, and He came to give it abundantly. Not just life, but life abundantly. With great blessings and great joy that we can have in Jesus. But you know the attractions of this world reach out to us, to the flesh, and we're not able to resist the temptations. You're just not able. If you don't have God in your life, you're not able. I've learned that. You know, I don't claim to be the, as they say, the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I've learned that without God in my life, I'm not able to resist. I've learned how weak and feeble that I really am. When I see the attractions that the world has for our people today, our young people, our children, for everybody that doesn't know God, and it reaches out, and the attraction is always to the flesh. Always to the flesh. That's how the enemy makes his appeal to you and I. It's through this old weakened, feeble, corrupt flesh that we live in. I think about what people are dealing with today. Alcohol. Drugs. Here we are in a time when we actually want to have to put it on the ballot to make some kind of drug legal. And we use the excuse that, well, it's good for medicinal purposes, and I believe that it is. But the devil takes those kind of things and he runs with it, doesn't he? And he causes people to be abused by these kind of things. Why? Because they had no control over the flesh. The young man that went and got his goods from his father, he went out into the world, he had no control over his flesh. He wasn't in his father's house anymore. He was out there on his own, doing it his own way. A lot of people doing it their own way today. And it's causing a destruction of the flesh. Amusements of all kinds. There's all kinds of things out there that say, come over here. Come over here. come over and do this. Boy, this looks good. This is the very thing that I feel like would satisfy me. When all the time he come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've learned, and I've tried a lot. I've learned there's nothing out there that he has for me that will satisfy. But I've learned that when I made my connection with God, when I accepted His Son as my Lord and Savior, then I had something that satisfied. I had something that gave me comfort. It gave me peace. I now had peace. I now didn't tell my wife anymore that if I die tonight, I know I'm going to go to hell. I told her that several times. But I didn't have to tell her that anymore. Because that's what His abundant life does for you and I. It changes us and brings us to the place where we don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about eternity. Because we have a peace within us. And we have that, as the song says, the blessed assurance in knowing that He's ours and that we are His. But, you know, people are tiptoeing through a minefield today. Through a minefield that they didn't create. But nevertheless, it's out there. Nevertheless, the temptations are there. And you know, whether you're saved or whether you're not saved, you're going to have your trials. And you're going to have your burdens. And you're going to have your test of life. Doesn't matter. We're all going to face those things in this life. Now, I'd like to get right down to business and deal with the destruction of the flesh through Scripture. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, to pray for us. The Lord will help us here. I don't know altogether why the Lord burdened our hearts with this, but He did. So we'll try to be faithful what the Lord would have us to do. 1 Corinthians 5 and 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God teaches here a destruction of the flesh because of the rejection of the Spirit of God. It isn't something that is done lightly. It isn't something that does not happen for a reason. There's a reason for everything that God does. He has a purpose for everything that He does. And I want to point out here that although this man's issue, his sin was fornication, it really doesn't matter what the sin is. Because God is going to bring judgment on all sin. The Bible condemns sin in the flesh, doesn't it? And so it's not so much just this, although it is a sin of the flesh, but it's condemning sin in general. And notice that Paul here said, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What is God really interested in with you and I? He made us and gave us flesh. But the Bible tells us it's corrupt. He tells us it's going to pass away and it's going to go back to the dust from which it came. The Bible tells us that. God is interested in the soul that He gave every one of us. And I'm sure that we're interested in the soul that He gave every one of us. Because it isn't the flesh that's going to live forever. It's going to be destroyed. But the soul will live forever. The soul will be out there in eternity, somewhere. forever. I remember the little message the Lord gave us here a while back about when our heart begins to beat in our mother's womb, we are destined forever to live forever. We will live forever from that time forward. And you and I, it's been put in our hands. Think of the power that was put in our hands to be able to make the choice of where I'm going to dwell in eternity. Now, I want to tell you how this works. You see, this is a very serious charge considering the future of the soul that Paul makes here. Paul is exercising his apostolic authority in connection with the power of Christ, he said. And he has exercised a sentence on this individual. Now I want to tell you, there are things that are done in the spirit world that God does with mankind that you and I don't see with our natural eyes. There are things that happen to a man or a woman that turns their back on God and against God. There's things that happen. And there's a place, there's lines that we can cross. And God has the lines drawn according to His Word. And there's a line that you and I can cross by rejecting the Lord. But now notice that Paul said, to deliver such a one unto Satan. That's pretty hard. That's very harsh. To deliver someone unto Satan, because Satan is the one that came to steal, to kill and to destroy, for the destruction of the flesh. The flesh really doesn't matter here. When it comes to the value of a soul or the need of a soul, the value takes second place. Or the flesh takes second place, I'm sorry. The soul is always first place. So in order for the soul to be saved, what Paul is saying here is, I'm committing them unto the enemy, the devil, to do whatever that he needs to do. And God will permit and allow things to come my way in my life and bring me down low in my life to help me to realize that it's my soul that needs to be saved. My flesh will be destroyed, but it's my soul that needs to be saved. I see people today that have all kinds of afflictions and all kinds of needs. I had someone come to me the other day, someone that I love very dearly, and tell me that it looks like there's a possibility that they're getting multiple sclerosis. They're falling a lot. They're not very old either. They're not a very old person, but they've taken the way of the flesh. And it brought this scripture to my mind when I heard them tell me that things are happening in their bodies that they don't understand. Things, they're losing control. Folks, we're dealing with Almighty God. And it said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And when these kind of things take place, I want to tell you, we're in a fearful place. We're in a fearful place. Here's how it works. The soul that you and I have is defended by your will. You have a will. You have a will that, and you have a choice, and you can be strong-willed, and you can stand firm on your convictions and what you believe, and you can stand in the place that you want to stand against God. But I want to tell you something, folks. It'll cost you every time. Every time, it'll cost you. So the soul is defended by your will. When the choice of the flesh, here's why I need your prayers. When the choice of the flesh makes a breach in the wall of the soul, you know, somehow the enemy's got to get in there. Somehow the enemy's got to get in there and do his dirty work. When the choice of the flesh, when I make choices to satisfy my flesh, to do the things that I want to do, I make a breach or I make a hole in the wall of the soul. When I do that, the door is open to anything that the devil has devised to come in. The door is open now. When I break, make a breach. In other words, let me say it this way. When I do wrong, when I choose to do wrong, let me get it properly here, a breach is made. I make a breach upon the Word of God. I make a breach upon God's love to me. I make a breach upon His sacrifice. Apostle Paul said in Romans, the first chapter, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto everyone that believes, unto salvation to everyone that believes. Folks, it's the gospel. It isn't man's words, it isn't my words, it isn't your words that can cut anyone off. It isn't Paul that can cut this man off. But it gave this man's flesh unto Satan in the name of Jesus. He was exercising his apostolic authority. And he gave this man's flesh because of the deed that he had done and what it was doing in the congregation. And what it was doing to the church, and the people seemed to be comfortable with it. They didn't seem to be bothered by it. But folks, I want to tell you, you can't do wrong and get by. God does not let sin keep going and going and going. Somewhere along the line, you and I are going to give an account and be held accountable for what we do in this life. We're going to be held accountable. When you make a wrong decision, and I believe you'll agree with this, it becomes easier to make others. When you make a wrong choice, the prodigal son, he made a wrong choice. I made a wrong choice. If someone would have told me when I was 16 years old that I would have went out into the world and I would have started on that first bottle of beer when I was 20 years old, and that I would be drinking those things like water, and that I would get involved in that thing, and that thing would control me the way that it did. If someone would have told me that when I was 16 years old, you'd have never gotten me to believe it. Nevertheless, that's what happened. I made a choice. A breach was made in my soul. And things begin to be easier and easier and easier. And wife asked me here not all that long ago, how could you go out and continue to do those kind of things? I said, because I had to tell my conscience something. And I got my conscience defiled. My conscience was destroyed. Folks, guard your conscience. It's a protection for you. It's a protection for you. When something in your mind and in your heart tells you what you're doing is wrong, what you're about to do is wrong, folks, listen to it. It's God trying to help guide you. It's God trying to help keep you out of trouble. But you get to the place where the conscience is defiled. You don't pay any more attention. It becomes easier and easier and easier. There's a scripture that comes to my mind. This isn't the only place the Apostle Paul did this. Where's it at? Let's 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. Why? That they may learn not to blaspheme. So Paul used his authority there, whom I have delivered unto Satan. The bottom line is, God has the final say. God says the last word in each and every one of our lives. Brother Carl Schaefer is down in Alabama this morning and finishing up a little meeting down there. And I can hear him say it so many times. At the end of every man's life, there's God. We make our choices. We do what we want to do. We satisfy this old flesh. And folks, there ain't anyone in here that just reached out to satisfy and satisfy and satisfy any more than I did. But I think about the one that has come to give us abundant life. And have mercy on me. He came to give every one of us abundant life. When you begin to make the choices And they become easier and easier and easier. And you reject the Spirit of God. Satan takes more control of the flesh. You may not believe that, but it's true. Satan takes more control of the flesh. There's a lot of issues, physical issues that I have today that I probably wouldn't have if I hadn't allowed Satan to have his way for so long in my life. But yet God's been merciful to me to spare me and to bless me. And I realize that. And I owe him my life. When you reject the Spirit of God, Satan takes more control of the flesh. And eventually, the flesh becomes the property of the devil. Quite a thought. Eventually, when you play in his playground, you play in his terms, folks, eventually the flesh, our flesh, becomes the property of the enemy himself. And when this happens, let it be known, folks, that judgment has been executed upon you. When and if this happens. The gospel of Jesus Christ never leaves us as it finds us. There may be those that are out in the world today that can do all kinds of hideous and sinful and wicked things. But those that have sat under the sound of the gospel will never be able to go out and operate like they do. I remember when I was out there in sin, even in my drunken stupors and playing places that I were going and things that I were doing, I can still remember I could not enjoy it like everybody else. Because I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew what I was doing was wrong. And I had no control over it. The enemy had control of my life. And he was just destroying my flesh day by day. Little by little. Oh, folks, this thing is serious. The gospel never leaves you as it finds you. And only you can break the power of his convicting spirit. You can break the power of conviction. It seems to be there's so little conviction today. But I still believe God is sending conviction upon the hearts of men and women. I still believe that he wants to save. That's what he came to seek and to save the lost. I still believe that. Folks, people are breaking the power of conviction. Because he accepts you and I. Say no. We can say no. I understand that God will bring conviction upon you three times. And when you say no, every time, it comes back a second time and it comes back a third time. And when you say no the third time, the Spirit will leave you. And through the prayers of the saints and the love of God and the sacrifice of His Son, He will come back. If He gives time and opportunity, He will come back and deal with you again. Because it's not His will that any should be lost. God will give us over to the destruction of the flesh in the hopes that the Spirit will be saved. That's what God wants more than anything. More than my good health. More than my happiness here in this life. He wants my soul to be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He wants. There is a place where the Spirit is delivered to Satan by the Spirit of God. Now folks, I said Spirit. I didn't say flesh. There is a place. In other words, we can step over bounds. We can go beyond all that God has tried to do with us. I think this is good instruction for us. As the people of God, folks. I want us to understand and realize this is how God deals with man. His Word says so. And there is a place where the spirit, my soul is delivered unto Satan by the Spirit of God. No man can do that. Paul couldn't do it. But there is a place where God can do it. When I have overrode and stepped over and counted His love for me as nothing, there is a place that God will. But folks, that's the last ditch effort there. God is very long suffering with us. And He doesn't want to do that. But there is a place. There is a place where it's done. Steal, kill, and to destroy. Every one of us this morning have the option of an abundant life. Thank the Lord for that. Most of us has taken that option. We only have two options in life. We can follow the thief or we can follow Christ. And most of us have taken the option of the abundant life. Now let me talk about this for a minute. Through the acceptance of and the obedience to the Son of God, God has given you and I an assurance. We have an assurance this morning. We can know beyond a shadow of doubt. Even though I can still remember that night, 29 years ago this month, when the enemy met me out there in the parking lot after service was over and said, you're not going to keep this. You're not going to stay saved. And he's been a liar for 29 years now. Even when I know that he's going to contest it, even though I know that he's going to come against it, we can have a blessed assurance this morning in knowing that he will keep us. He will keep us. We have an assurance in Christ to know that if we'll stand true and faithful, we will be saved. We also know that as we stay saved, that we will bear fruit for him. That's our duty. That's what we do as children of God. Bear fruit for Him. We have an assurance that He will give us the grace to do those things. Abundant life. We have an assurance that we will be preserved from worldly influence. Folks, do you see what I'm saying here this morning? All these assurances that we have through the abundant life of Christ completely turns around everything the devil has designed to destroy our flesh. Completely turns it around and gives it into God's hands when we say, I will. I will serve you. We have an assurance that we can be kept and we will be kept in His name for our eternal salvation. I'm thankful for that today, folks. I look back upon my life, many others too, and realize where we came from. The only thing, and I still to this day, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, when I think of the times that God could have called me out into eternity, lost and unprepared, I shudder. I shudder to think of those times. That God in His mercy gave me time. Gave me opportunity. But you know what He said? When He saved me this time, this is your last chance, Larry. You better take it serious. You better get it right. And you better hold on to it. Because I'm not going to deal with you again. Folks, do you think that doesn't strike a chord of fear in my heart? Do you think that doesn't make me, when the enemy comes along and tempts me and tries to pull me and try to gratify my flesh, you think that don't help me to understand and realize that how serious this thing is? That I've only got my one chance here and I'm going to take it, folks. By the grace and the help of God, I'm going to take it. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost. Nobody wants to be lost. But the power of the flesh is so great today. People are being drawn into so many things, and they feel like that they're living in pleasure, and they're doing the things that they want to do, and they feel like if they give that up to take Jesus Christ, that they won't be able to enjoy life anymore. That's the lies of the enemy, isn't it? I've had more fun since I've been saved than I did before I ever got saved. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying the blessings of salvation. Why? Because He came to give an abundant life. And surely He has been abundant in my heart and in my life. And I appreciate His love and mercy, and I'm sure you do too. We'll look at a scripture found in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the faith chapter. Hebrews 11 and 7. By faith. By faith. Salvation is taken by faith, isn't it? We got to believe. We got to believe in His Son. We got to believe in His sacrifice. We got to believe in His blood. And really, for that moment, that's really all we got to believe. We got to believe He'll save us from sin. We got to believe He's our deliverer. But folks, He said here, by faith, Noah. You say, oh, Noah, he's an Old Testament boy. Yes, he is. But he's taught us a lesson here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Folks, we live in a world today full of trouble, full of sorrow. Pray for people all the time with sorrow and sadness in their hearts. People that have lost loved ones, family and friends. Pray for them. Because we live in a world full of this, full of trouble and full of sorrow. And he was warned of things not seen as yet. I want to tell you this morning in the fear of God, we haven't seen Jesus come back yet, but He's coming. You can rest assured that He's coming. And then what are we going to do? How are we going to handle the choices that we've made, the decisions that we've made with our life? How are we going to handle that when He does come again? And if He doesn't come in our day, He's still coming for us. He's still coming for us. But it said here, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. Now this is something special to me about God. I don't have to fear God because He can take my life. But this is a fear of respect. He respected God. He respected what God had to say. And he obeyed because of his respect. And because of the awe that he had of God. And so he moved with fear. It was fear that caused him to do what he did. It wasn't the fear of losing his life. It wasn't the fear of losing his soul. It was the fear and the respect and the love that he had for God that caused him to do what he did. Saints, if you don't have any other reason sometimes, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and he tries to take away all your hope, and he wants to bring despair, and he wants to bring the clouds over the top and you can't see the sunshine, you do what you do because of your fear of God. You do what you do. You do what you know is right because you have a respect for God. Because we're going to meet God someday, face to face. The one that gave His life for me, I was praying the other day at home, alone. And I said, Lord, I want to see Your face. The one that died for me. The one that gave Your life for me. I want to see it. And I want to be with You forever, around Your throne in glory. Folks, people live today like they're going to live here forever. They build their castles. they get their lives in the order they think it ought to be in. And pretty soon, something happens. And despair sets in. Lose a child. Lose a loved one. Have something come upon their bodies. The Apostle Paul gives us a lesson here this morning. I give their flesh over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul can be saved. I believe that I serve a God this morning that loves me so much, He will do whatever He can. He will do whatever He can for me to help me be ready to die. I believe that. He loves me that much. He's already proved it to me. He loves me that much. I got saved years ago because I didn't want to go to hell. And I still don't. Neither do you. But that's not why I serve Him today. I serve Him today because I see Him high and lifted up. Because I love Him. Because He loved me and He proved His love to me time and time again. There's probably not a one in this room today that God hasn't proved His love for you time and time again. Young or old, folks, He's proved His love to us. He's proved that He loved us. He woke us up this morning. Paul said He giveth life and breath and all things. He didn't have to give me life and breath this morning, but He did. He did. Still have part of my mind left and am able to go about my duties of life. He didn't have to do that, but He did. He did, folks. What a wonderful God that we serve this morning. He's given us, He come to give us life abundantly. Don't you feel like you've got abundant life this morning? Your hope? We're not hopeless. We got a hope, and it's bright. You know, when that prodigal got down and lost everything he had and would go down and would eat with the hogs, and he finally came to himself, he turned around and he went where? Back to the Father? He thought of the Father's house, didn't he? He thought of the Father's house. It says he came to himself. You notice in that story, I always like to point this out, Father didn't go to him. Father didn't take him a ham and cheese sandwich. Well, it wouldn't have been ham, would it? Didn't take him a beef, roast beef sandwich. Say, here, son, I don't want you to eat with the hogs. You're making us look bad. The people are looking down on the family. Father stayed right there at home until he came to himself. Because if he would have went and got his son and brought him home, he'd still have the same son he had when he left. People have to come to themselves. It's a choice. It's a decision that we all make for ourselves, isn't it? We all make these choices. We got to come to ourselves. There's quite a few that I'm praying for right now that I'm asking God, Lord, please help them to come to themselves. Help them to realize what they're doing is destroying their lives and going to destroy their souls in the devil's hell. Help them, Lord. Help them to... I came to myself. The Lord had mercy and helped me to come to myself. I had to make the initial step towards that altar. But I came to myself. And I thank God for it. Folks, what we have today is precious. Gold can't buy it. Nothing can buy this. Jesus purchased it for you and I. He's the only one that could buy this for us. But you and I don't have anything to buy this with. We're just going to have to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God, aren't we? We're going to have to do it His way. Because there is no other way. Is that picture still up there? That fell up there? All walking through life. See that prodigal out there? He got a choice to make. But he come to himself. And he remembered Father's house. And he ran. He went back to his father, and when his father saw him, he ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. Father ran. Oh, I want to tell you, folks, that night. Sin was destroying my life. It was destroying my home. It was taking a toll on my body. But when I went to Father's house, He accepted me. He forgave me. He took all of that load that I had. And He had mercy on my soul. Oh, folks, I am so grateful that we have a Father today that loves us so much, cares about us so much. It's not His will that I be lost. I'll never forget telling my wife that afternoon. I said, you know, I don't know why I came here. I can't stand being around these people in the shape I'm in. Said, we need to do one of two things. We need to go home, or I need to go to the altar. She said, sounds to me like you need to go to the altar. Oh, I couldn't hardly wait to get there. People up talking during the service. I was hoping that they'd sit down and shut up so I could go to the altar. I didn't even need a message that night. Brother Williams preached. He preached on the blood. I do remember that. But he could have preached on the life of a turtle. It didn't matter to me. It wasn't the message that I needed. It was salvation. That's what I needed. I needed to come back to the Father's house. And He welcomed me with open arms. There was Brother Mark Sammons. Brother Curtis Williams come down there and pray with me. They probably were overjoyed to see this old prodigal return to come back to the fold. I'm sure they were. Brother Mark says, you're not leaving this meeting until we get you baptized, young man. He took me down there in the old muddy river, and it was muddy. And I didn't care. And He baptized me. Oh, folks, it's a beautiful story, isn't it? What Jesus can do for you and I. After all the wasted years, after all the wasted life, after me running and running and running away from God, and yet God just waited till I came to myself. And then He welcomed me back home. I thank God for that today. I appreciate His love. I appreciate His mercy. But there is a side of God that we've got to always remember. He's a wrathful God. And He will stand by His word. He will stand by His word. And He will do whatever that needs to be done in the life and the heart of each and every one of us. Lord, help us to keep our hearts open. Saints, a broken and a contrite heart, He will never refuse. Keep it. I don't care how long you've been saved, who you are, what you do. You and I were created to glorify Him. And everything we do is to glorify God. Just stay humble and pliable in His hands. Pray for me. I want to be faithful. Amen.